come to these verses from Romans 2. Let us seek the Lord's help and his guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for your word, for these truths which you have given to us to live by, that we would find in them direction to the Lord Jesus Christ, that it is to him that all must come to receive eternal life. And therefore, we pray that you might minister by your Spirit this evening to us, and that we would be conscious of faith in Christ for those who do not yet trust in him, that they might know of their need to trust in him, and then by your Spirit to work in them to give them salvation in your Son Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. I would like for us to read again the verses that we are going to be looking at this evening, verse 25 of chapter 2 and to the end of the chapter. For circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law, but if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. So if a man who is uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Then he who is physically uncircumcised but keeps the law will condemn you who have the written code and circumcision but break the law. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. This evening I want to try and help to say more about what this passage says and how it is relevant to us this evening. What is he saying here? What is he speaking about? He is speaking about circumcision, and in one sense circumcision can be like uncircumcision, and he's talking about what people do outwardly, but there's a need for an inward work as well. And well, as the apostle often does, there is much contained here in a short passage. So what I hope to do is to try and unfold this a little bit more and show us how it is so the teaching here is so important. Because what the apostle is speaking about here, what he is addressing, is a view. A view that some, if not many, have. That religion, and religion that pleases God, is a matter of doing certain things. He is addressing this view that religion is a matter of doing certain things. And if you do them, then that's you. If you do them, then you've done what you need to do to enter into God's kingdom. Is that what religion is? Is it just a matter of doing certain things? Is it a matter of being in a certain place at a certain time? Is it a matter of things such as what Paul speaks about here, the external practices, and the external practice which he takes up here especially is circumcision. Circumcision, because he is speaking in this occasion to Jews in the Roman Church, but what he is also saying has implications for Gentiles, has implications for any who is not a Jew. And this is where it begins. And this passage where he is speaking to the Jews is very instructive for us as well, as I hope we will see. You see, some were of the view that because they were circumcised, it was of little importance what else they did. As long as they were circumcised, it was of little importance what else they did. As long as they conformed outwardly, that was all that mattered. Jesus himself speaks about this in a passage in Matthew's Gospel. Towards the end of the Gospel there in Matthew 23, as he speaks to the Pharisees, those who were experts at this, conforming outwardly. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. You see what Jesus is saying, that there were those who were really only concerned about conforming outwardly, doing the right things, while all that time inside, in the heart, there was no desire or love for God. There was not life as we receive from God, but actually there was spiritual death, outward conformity to religious things, but inside, spiritual death. Which is why then Jesus immediately goes on to say, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. You see, it is often the case that people, it is often the case that people will look on the outside. But Jesus is God, and God sees everything. He sees the outside and he sees the inside. As clearly as you and I see the outside, he sees the inside. Indeed, even more clearly, he sees what is going on inside. And Luke tells us this when he also recounts that time when Jesus spoke to the Pharisees. When he said the same thing, now you Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. He says, Jesus says, "You fools, did not he who made the outside make the inside also?" God sees everything is laid bare before the Lord. He sees exactly what is going on when there is outward conformity to what he says, but inwardly there is spiritual death. Inwardly there is nothing inclined to God. He sees that when it is there. You see, that's exactly what this passage is talking about. The Word of God penetrates. The Word of God goes to those places that are unseen. God knows what is going on in your heart this evening. He knows what is there. He knows whether you are alive to him or dead to him. He sees everything that is happening inside. And if there is nothing happening inside towards God, then he sees that also. He sees when inwardly there is uncleanness. Just as Jesus spoke to the Pharisees on that occasion. He sees what happens when any person tries to grasp on to the things of God, but only by doing the externals in religion. He sees that there can be conformity to the religion that God gives and teaches, but when inside there is nothing in the heart towards him. And it's important then in this passage for us to see from this passage what the truth is. Because when there is outward conformity, but inside nothing towards God, there is then often an appeal made, isn't there, to God, or an appeal made to other people. Well, I do this religious thing, I do that religious thing. In the case of the Jews, it was circumcision. Well, I've been circumcised. That's what I need. That's the ticket. But look at what it says in verse 25. For circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law. But if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. We might put it this way, that the outward conformity is seen by God when there is the breaking of the law as no conformity at all. That God is not pleased when there is only outward conformity. That he is not pleased when there is deadness in the heart towards him. He is not pleased when there is only external religion, doing certain things, but nothing in the heart for God. What we see here is that any shortcoming, any sin, invalidates external practice in religion if that external practice is not also worth the work of God's Spirit in the heart? For circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law, but if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. Yes, there ought to be the outward living of religion, but for that to please God, it must come from the inward work of His Holy Spirit. There is the need for God's work in the heart. There is need for an internal transformation. Not just doing certain things, but becoming a new creation by the work of God's Spirit. There is a need for the inwardly work of God in Christ by His Holy Spirit. You see, there is, and what he is speaking of here is a true religion, which he is referring to when he speaks of a circumcision which is not merely outward, but inward also. As he says in verse number 28, no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But before God, it cannot just be the external way of following Him, but there must be the inward work of God's Holy Spirit as well. True circumcision is, verse 29, a matter of the heart. It's all very well to do what is the outward things, the physical things, but it's not genuine unless it is spiritual and unless there is a transformation in the heart. Indeed, an altogether new heart which God is pleased to give to sinners in Jesus Christ. True religion is a matter of the heart which then expresses itself outwardly. That's what true religion is before God. True circumcision, he says, verse 29, is a matter of the heart. We also learn here how it comes about, don't we? It is by the Spirit. It's a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not the letter. See, to please God is not a matter of mustering up strength to do it. It's not about geeing ourselves up. It's not about improving ourselves morally or any other way. It's not about doing the external things in religion. It's only in one way, God's way. Not by might, not by strength, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. This is true religion. Religion that pleases God is that which is from Him, by His Spirit. If what matters then is the inward work, is the outward work of no value, is circumcision of no value? He says, verse 25, circumcision indeed is of value. There is value to this sign of the covenant that God gave in the Old Testament. But only in the end if you obey the law. Only in the end if you obey the law. That is what God is looking for. Obedience. Faithfulness. Circumcision, which was, as I say, the sign in the Old Testament of God's covenant, God's promise. Promise that he gave to Abraham that he would bless him, make him into a nation and give a land for him as well, that his seed would be a blessing to the world. It was a sign and a seal of these promises that God made. To try and give an example of this, to try and explain the teaching here. Because there were those who said that really what mattered is circumcision. That's the important thing. Let me try and explain this. If you drive from church to church, as many of you do, there is a sign at the roundabout on the way up, just as you come up the hill, and then before you turn onto the street, Balnafetic Road. A sign that says, Kingsview Christian Centre. Now you see that sign that says, Kingsview Christian Centre. But you don't park your car there. You don't park your car there. You keep on going. You take the turning. You come up the hill and you park your car here. Because this is where Kingsview Christian Centre is. This is the building that we come to worship God. Well, let's go back to that sign. You know that it is a sign. You know that the real thing isn't found there. If you were to park your car there for 6 o'clock this evening and stand at the sign, you wouldn't do that because you know that the service is here. Likewise, the sign is not where we stop and park the car. In religion, it doesn't stop at circumcision or in the New Testament, baptism. There are many who stop and park their cars there. I'm baptized. What else do I need? This is the people in the Old Testament who would say, I'm circumcised. What else do I need? We confuse the sign with what the sign signifies. You see, in the same way as the sign isn't where Kingsview Christian Centre is, so also circumcision is not the stop that we make, and baptism not the stop that we make. For the real thing is not found in that external practice, but in the one that that practice signifies and whose promises are sealed by it. You see, religion is not about circumcision. Religion is not about baptism. Religion is not about these external things, though religion involves, true religion does involve these things. No, religion is this. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Look at what it says again in verse 25. Circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law. Here is a signpost, if there ever was one, for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has obeyed the law, the one who has been found to please God, the one that God declared, he said it. This is my Son with whom I am well pleased. He is the one that we must have to please God. Therefore, it's not just about doing certain things. We miss the point then. We would actually miss the good news of the gospel. It's not about what we have done, what practice we have conformed to. It's not about our achievements, but his achievements. That's where true religion is found, in Jesus Christ and receiving him for yourself. And this is as God teaches us the way that he is wanting for us to go. It is an inward work. Here is where it begins. It begins in the heart by the Spirit. Something that he does for us. Well, all outward things to do with religion are of value if you obey the law. And you can only have obeyed the law if you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because he has obeyed the law. He has done everything on your behalf, for you. And he tells us that he comes to make his home with us. And therefore, circumcision is only of value in the end to a Jew if he believes in Jesus Christ. And baptism, if you have been baptized, is only in the end of true value to you if you believe in Jesus Christ. And going to church is only of true value if you believe in Jesus Christ and trust in him. Keeping the Lord's Day is only of value if you believe in Jesus Christ and trust in him. The external things are only of value if you obey the law. And only Jesus Christ has obeyed the law. It maybe doesn't happen so much as it once did. But maybe, nevertheless, I can imagine it does happen today. The conversation that takes place between the person who does not do the external things and the one who does, but in them is no life for God. A very good of you, the one who doesn't do the external things, might say to the one who does, you're very upstanding. You show commitment to religion when others don't. That conversation can and does take place, doesn't it? And the apostle speaks about that here at the end of the chapter. Praise from man
but not from God. Praise from man, but not from God. But you see, the one who has been converted by God's Holy Spirit and is conformed to God inwardly as well as outwardly. Outwardly because of what is inward. Well, their praise is not from man, but is from God. And that is what is and must be important. Not praise from men, but from God. I was thinking of, some men who receive such high praise. And I was thinking of one man who received great praise. He was an athlete, and if I remember the story right, he was so highly praised that the team that he played for, they built an extra tier on top of their stadium because so many people wanted to watch him play. Thousands upon thousands, they had not seen crowds like it. So full of praise were they for this man. But you know, that was once a week or once every 2 weeks, whenever they were playing at home. And in between those games, he was at such a low. He was so down. He was so depressed that he sought to find other ways of getting that high, which in the end brought his career very low. Because you see, the praise of men is not satisfying. He found it more than anyone. What matters is what God thinks. And that must be what matters for you. Because God sees what is going on in your heart. He sees what is inward as well as outward. And here we are given these incredible words that those who receive the Lord Jesus Christ, those who receive God's Spirit and have that inward work done by Him, receive praise from God. When God spoke to His Son and said, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." That is a word for all who trust in His Son as well. A marvelous truth that is covered here in these opening chapters of Romans. The truth of justification, acceptance by God, forgiveness of sins, which comes not at the end of life, but which comes when God is pleased to grant His Holy Spirit to us. The Spirit of His Son, Jesus Christ. God's people, therefore, have an inward work done to them. God's work. His Spirit. A Christian is one who has been born again by the Spirit. And the Spirit works in us inwardly, that we are alive to God and then outwardly, that we live in a way that pleases him. May God minister to us these words and truths, and indeed we pray himself by his Holy Spirit. Amen.